I was convinced there wasn't a God until I heard Verlander finally signed. Literally, to me, the most unnecessary process I think I've ever seen. And the worst part about that whole thing was that all of the speculation happened because nothing else is happening. It's the lockout. So the big headlines were the Hall of Fame balloting, the Mets managerial search, and Verlander not signing with the Astros, or officially signing with the Astros for whatever reason. So I'm glad that's over. I'm glad that saga's over. We can finally move on to more important things, like speculating on which Hall of Fame ballot will be worse than the ones previous, or I don't know, whatever random story MLB.com puts out. Oh, the Facts Pod, baby.
If you don't know the facts, then you gotta chill.
Hello and welcome back to the Know the Facts or podcast, where we talk everything and anything Astros. We've got a great show planned for you today, and joining me to talk shop is Kenny Van Doren, co-host of the Astros Future podcast and site expert for Fansided's Climbing Towers Hill. Kenny, thanks for being here, my man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, let's get right into it.
Pitch. High fly. Deep center field. Can the ballpark hold it? It cannot! It's gone! Home run! Three home runs in one game for Jeremy Peña!
With Carlos Correa's potential departure, the attention for a replacement at shortstop now turns to 24-year-old Jeremy Peña, Houston's fourth-ranked prospect. Kenny, how does Jeremy Peña figure into the equation for the Astros? Do you think he gets his chance next season if Correa walks?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance Correa does walk. And, you know, from that outlook, Jeremy Peña is the long-term replacement if they don't sign somebody this offseason. I know we're in a lockout right now. You look at someone like Trevor Story still on the market. The Astros could be talking to him once the lockout is over. But someone like Jeremy Peña, I don't think he's ready at the start of the season. He only played 30 games last year in AAA, someone who's coming off a wrist injury. And now he's playing in the lead on the Dominican Winter League. And I actually wrote about this morning. His defense is amazing. He has the best user zone rating or ultimate zone rating in the Dominican Winter League this year. But his slugging and power is diminished. He was a guy who hit 10 home runs in 30 games in AAA this past year, and now he only has one home run in 25 games. There's something, you know, a little bit off in that category of power and slugging, but he's definitely a guy that's going to make his debut. I do believe that. I don't think he's going to be coming. I don't think he's going to be on the roster right out of the gates. He still needs a little bit more time in AAA, but down the road, I definitely think he is the long-term replacement at shortstop. Definitely going to be like that next Carlos Correa outlook. You know, you get, you know, seven good seasons out of him, and then he's going to be looking for a big contract. You know, he has all the tools. He's fast. He can throw. He can hit. You know, he picked up power this past year. And I think when you come into the season, if Carlos Correa isn't re-signed, I don't think Jeremy Peña is a starter. But, you know, come the mid, you know, the dog days of summer, he definitely would probably be on the roster.
Gotcha. Would you see him potentially getting more shine during the September call-ups late season?
Definitely. I think by that time in the season, I still see the Astros as contenders. I think they're going to be winning the AL West next season. You know, the Rangers have some new, they've got Seager, and they have another second baseman blanking right now. You tell me.
Simeon.
Yeah. So they got two power hitters right there, two guys who can be MVP caliber players, and they still not pitching. The Astros have it all. They have everything, you know, checked off except that shortstop position. And I think by September, you know, we see those late season call-ups. You know, someone this past year was Jose Siri. Jose Siri got his first chance at the major league level, and, you know, he played well. He played well in the field, a little bit of, you know, hiccups here and there. But Jeremy Peña would definitely get a lot of starts in September.
You mentioned the kind of lack of power that kind of surfaced when he went to the Dominican Winter League. On average, he's about, I want to say, 5 years younger than most of the guys in that league. So it kind of is, I think, a simulation of what we could expect in the major leagues once Jeremy Peña reaches that point. And you did mention that, you know, he had kind of higher power numbers in AAA, where I think it was like, what, there was a game he had three home runs, which is something ridiculous right that. So the power stroke is there, I think, and it's going to take, obviously, he's still only 24. There's plenty of room for him to grow and develop, and I think we might get more of that power swing as he gets more accustomed to facing big league pitching.
That's not quite what he's facing in the winter league, I'd say, but I'd say it's close to the a pretty close simulation to what he'll be expecting and what people will be throwing him with. So yeah, I mean, even I don't know. It's hard to say if he'll be like an exact replica of Correa. You mentioned his defense. Yeah, he's been sensational on the defensive end. I don't think that'll be a problem in terms of translating into the major leagues there, but he might be more of a contact speed guy as opposed to Correa, who can, you know, hit 30 bombs in a season. So it'll be interesting to see. I do think he's the answer. You mentioned that he might be the option later down the road, and we might sign someone. I don't know if Trevor Story would be down for like a short-term contract. He just saw the bag that Simeon and Seager got. So he might be looking for something more long-term. So it'll be interesting to see what James Click does with regards to that. But yeah, who knows, down the line, 2023, 2024, maybe he might be the guy, and he might be worse than Correa. He might be better, but I'm willing to bank on that defense. I'm willing to bank on his contact and his speed and just his overall physique as a whole. So yeah, will definitely be interesting to watch.
1-2, swing and a miss, strike three. Forrest Whitley strikes out the side in the fourth inning.
Moving on, let's talk a bit about Forrest Whitley. Whitley last pitched in a baseball game in 2019. After no 2020 minor league season, Whitley suffered a sprained ulnar collateral ligament during a live batting practice back in February of this year, and he underwent Tommy John surgery later in March. With Whitley not expected to contribute to the club until next spring training at the earliest, how do you think the Astros will proceed with him moving forward?
It's a little tough category, for him in that sense. He can't really catch a break. A guy who's battled some injury, battled a suspension that he believes like he didn't really deserve. He won't be ready by spring training. My co-host, Jimmy Price, who's on the Astros Futures podcast, talked to him about that. And he said he wants to contribute this season, though. He wants to get out there and wants to, make his debut. Someone like Tyler Ivey came up for a spot start in, that May area. Someone who can fill the void on a long stretch of games. That could be where Forrest Whitley, sees his first time, maybe in some long relief roles in September, if he's ready for it. But he's a guy who doesn't have that much AAA experience under his belt. I know there's other guys like Luis Garcia who never pitched past low A and somehow was almost the rookie of the year candidate. I don't think Forrest Whitley's in that same category since he's coming off Tommy John. I'm banking on Forrest Whitley, though. I'm still a believer in him. He has all the tools. He's a five-pitch pitcher. He has nasty breaking pitches. He can throw a fastball. It just depends on how much length he can go and if he can really stay healthy down the road. I know he was the Astros' top prospect. He's kind of fallen off. He's still a top five guy. If I'm the Astros, I'm still leaning on him for some depth. The Astros really lacked that this year. Guys like Kent Emmanuel, Tyler Ivey were out for the season, and Forrest Whitley. That minor league depth wasn't there. The only guy like left over was Peter Solomon. But this year Forrest Whitley can really show and put down all the negative words that go to his name.
Do you still see him becoming a frontline starter, or do you see him more as a 4-5 guy now?
For an Astros rotation, he would definitely start off. We know that he would be like a 4-5 guy. But if he stays healthy and he has that, he has a bounce back season in AAA. It just depends. A lot of guys bounce back from Tommy John, or they're not themselves ever again. It's hard to tell for a guy who's never had major league experience. But I think there's so much to his peripheral. Could be a 1-2 guy. Maybe not for the Astros, but definitely for a Major League Baseball club.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned his Tommy John. I'm just curious as to how that might affect his repertoire. You mentioned, he has the fastball. He has the slider. He has the changeup. He has a cutter that some scouts say is better than his breaking stuff. And I wonder if it was mentioned on the MILB.com page about him that he kind of altered his mechanics to help him throw that cutter. So I wonder if the Tommy John might potentially hold him back in that regards to his stuff being just good to being wipe out how he was projected to be moving forward. Yeah, it's interesting. Sorry, what were you going to say?
He's definitely a guy that's hungry to play, though. You see him on social media. He's still going out there every day and throwing as much as he can. It sucks he won't be, back for spring training. But, at the end of the day, he's still a guy I think the Astros want to lean on, a guy that they've been talking about for years. He's a guy who's a first-round pick, and, it's Forrest Whitley. That think about that name. That's every Astros fan knows who Forrest Whitley is. They just haven't seen him yet. And I think this year you can, I'm going to say that he'll get at least one start at major league level.
Yeah. I mean, but there's also the possibility that he gets traded. Could you see like a potential avenue in which, you know, he's dealt for a guy like, I know the Astros are potentially looking at center field depth, maybe for a guy like Ketel Marte.
Yeah. I don't think he has much value at the moment. Forrest Whitley does, you know, guy hasn't pitched in 2 years and he doesn't really have any AAA experience. But, you know, I'm not going to compare him to like Miles Straw, but Miles Straw was, you know, not having a good season and he was getting better. And we're like, okay, this guy's, you know, Miles Straw is going to be a good center fielder going into the postseason, but he's actually just building trade value. Somebody like Forrest Whitley, if he has a good AAA season, we could be like, oh, this, you know, Forrest Whitley is going to come up, be some depth in the bullpen. No, he's building his trade value. So that could definitely be an option.
Is there like a specific name that you think comes to mind when you think about trading a guy like Forrest Whitley?
Yeah, Brian Reynolds, the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates are a team that don't really believe in like long-term deals. They're not big spenders. You know, they got rid of Gerrit Cole. They've gotten rid of Starling Marte. But Brian Reynolds, center fielder for the Pirates, he can do it all. He's only like 28, you know, 28 to 30 range. And he would definitely bolster the center field position for the Astros, no doubt. It could be, you know, in that, you know, 1 through 6 in the lineup.
For sure, for sure.
With baseball's offseason in full swing, I've been afforded the chance to catch up on things I'd been too busy to do during the season. Catch up on some shows of mine, listen to some new music, and tune into some neat podcasts. And with an abundance of free time due to baseball's lockout, I imagine I'll be doing a lot more listening in the near future. There's so much going on in the world, whether it's stuff you're excited about, like baseball, or stuff you'd rather not think about, like baseball, you can't always control the vibes out there. But you can control the vibes in your head with a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears. I've been using them for the better part of 2 months now, mostly for listening to music and podcasts, and I'm yet to find any fault in them. Whether I'm pumping up, winding down, or in the middle of crying myself to sleep in response to Rob Manfred's incompetence, Raycons are my go-to for on-the-go audio. And unlike the current state of Major League Baseball, the new everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With an improved rubber oil look and optimized gel tips that slide seamlessly into your ear for the perfect fit, these are impressive before you even start listening. There's also an all-new awareness mode for when you need to focus on your surroundings instead. And with 8 hours of playtime and 32 hours of battery at half the price of other premium audio brands, the new everyday earbuds are a grand slam in listening. And right now, Know the Facts or Pod listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/garden. That's buyraycon.com/garden to save 15% on Raycons. buyraycon.com/garden, GARDEN.
Swinging a high drive deep left field. Jimenez can just watch it go over the left field wall. It's a 3-run home run for Luke Berryhill.
All right, last topic. The Astros ranked 29th in Baseball America's midseason organization talent rankings this year. Still, the team always seems to find key contributions from the farm system, despite the lack of high-end blue-chip talent. Names like Jake Meyers and Chaz McCormick come to mind. Kenny, are there any other prospects from the farm system that could potentially make an impact on the Major League club moving forward?
Luke Berryhill. He's a catcher. He's currently in Double A. He started the season in Low A. Luke Berryhill was acquired from the Reds, and I think in 2020, Perez, a left-handed reliever. Cionel Perez is no longer with the Reds. He's with the Baltimore Orioles. Cool thing about Luke Berryhill is that before the Astros traded for him, he only had 8 professional baseball games under his belt with a 744 OPS, but he went to South Carolina and he had a 919 OPS in his time in college. But now he's the Astros minor league player of the year. So that was a quick turnaround, in my opinion, a guy who doesn't have a lot of experience, you know, behind him. And he got to Double A in his second career year in the minor leagues. So he's definitely a guy that I think the Astros could lean on in like maybe 2 years. They do have Corey Lee. They do have Yonner Diaz. They have Scott Manaea. Yeah. There's a lot of guys down there. And, you know, for an organization that was, you know, sought out as, you know, they have no catching depth. You know, they have this guy named Corey Lee. That was, you know, why did they draft him in the first round? Now they have a lot of catching options down there. And someone like Yonner Diaz, who's exposed in the Rule 5 draft whenever that happens and the lockout's over, I don't think he's going to get taken. There's no way Yonner Diaz can stay on a 26-man roster. So there's a lot of options down there, a lot of trade value in some of these guys. But Luke Berryhill is, you know, he's a blue chip. Like, this guy came out of nowhere. He had a 1,064 OPS in 35 games in low A. So he's going to progress fast. I could definitely see him at Triple A next season. Somebody like Michael Papirski, who's been on the Astros taxi squad, he's in Triple A at the moment. The pitchers rave about him. He's exposed in the Rule 5 draft. And I think Michael Papirski could stay on the 26-man roster. He has enough AAA experience behind him. And if a team wants to take that risk on him, I feel like he could stay at that level. And Luke Berryhill would definitely fill the void lost in Michael Papirski.
For sure. It's interesting that you bring up the catching position because, as you mentioned, there is a kind of a lot of depth. You mentioned Scott Manaea. He had an 867 OPS with Corpus Christi this year. So it will be interesting. And you mentioned Yainer Diaz and Corey Lee. It will be interesting to see who kind of becomes, the top dog among those prospects, because I imagine Martin Maldonado is likely gone after his contract is up. For as good as he's been, he's kind of, backing up, the catching depth on the team. So it'll be interesting to see if, once Maldonado leaves, I'd imagine it's Corey Lee who gets the job, but I imagine they'll also need a backup. And if they're not going to sign, someone in free agency to help back up Lee as the starter, I imagine it would be one of those three guys, Berryhill or Diaz or Manaea. So it will be interesting to see what happens. And you mentioned trade depth too.
I
don't know. I mean, who do you think is the best out of all those four?
It's hard to say, but they traded Garrett Stubbs away. That was inevitable. Stubbs was, good depth for a couple of years, but he's going to get a better chance in Philadelphia. There's only two catchers on the roster right now. I know the 40-man is technically full if you count Justin Verlander signing. I know it never got officially done. But at some point this season, they're going to have to add a third catcher. And I think that is going to be Corey Lee to start this all out. If you get Corey Lee up at the major league level for a few games and get him, accustomed with Maldonado. So I think Lee is the best option getting added to the roster. And then you have Berryhill, possibly Papirski, Manaea, and Diaz that could come up at some point in the next couple of years.
What's interesting about Lee is that he's very versatile. He can play first. He can play, I think
third base, left field.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe if they like one of those three enough, they maybe just kind of send Corey Lee to first. I mean, Yuli Gurriel, I imagine, won't be around for much longer. So maybe he's an option at first and then have one of those three become the starting catcher. But yeah, like you said, I would imagine Corey Lee gets some time this coming season, just, get his feet wet, get him, I mean, there aren't a lot of better mentors out there at catcher than a Martin Maldonado. So I imagine, getting some time up there with him would do very well defensively.
Definitely. And I think I like the idea of Corey Lee getting some time at first base, that Garrett Stubbs, when he came up, he played a little bit of second, a little bit of left field. So they could just, show some Corey Lee at the major league level at different positions, just to see if he can be maybe a utility guy in the middle of the season if someone goes down with an injury.
Yeah, I mean, if Aledmys Diaz, I mean, we all know his injury history. So I don't know, maybe he comes in and fills that kind of role. But yeah, will definitely be interesting to watch and keep track of moving forward. All right, that's pretty much all we have. Thanks, Kenny, for hopping on and talking shop. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day, man.
You too.